Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you. I think Christmas is probably the best time of year. There are not many times of year where you can sing songs about riding sleighs in the snow while it's 30 degrees outside. There's a cultural magic about Christmas where we put up decorations of snowmen and reindeer, even though I've never seen either in Australia. We get together and we talk about hope and peace and love, and we recover from a difficult year that's been. We appreciate those who have had an impact on our lives, and I look forward to spending time with my family where we have our own sort of culture and strange things that we do. One of the things that we do in my mother's family is we, instead of buying a present for everybody and then not having much money to give much more than a hanky for everybody, we have sort of a secret Santa type of thing where we each write a Christmas list of things that we would like for a certain amount of money, and we hand them all to my Auntie Jan, who is very good at putting them all in a hat and then sending them out to us. And we buy a present for each person on that list. And then we have it at Christmas time wrapped up from to Paul or whoever from the family. Now, it sounds like a mafia thing, but it's really just my cousin who has ordered something online, put it in a box and wrapped it up and stuck it under the Christmas tree. Now, one of the exciting things that happens when you get a present from the family is that everyone gets their present one at a time, and then you have to go around and thank the whole family, which is probably about, could be 40 or 50 people at the event. You thank each one individually with a handshake or a kiss and hug, depending upon who it is. And sometimes it's just a general, I think that's nice. And then sometimes you come across Auntie Ricky, who grabs you and gives you the biggest hug and kiss possible. Now, one year, my future brother-in-law, I think he was my brother-in-law, the first time that he joined us for Christmas and he gave his Christmas list in, it came time to give out presents, and he got a present from the family. So it's kind of an initiation thing where he has to now visit every member of the family and shake their hand, and he has to come across Auntie Ricky, who will give him a big hug and kiss, and then go around and thank him for a gift. Then a few more presents come along, and you hug and kiss a few more people. And then Jono gets another present from the family and has to come around and hug everyone and high five and hug Auntie Ricky again. And then after a little while later, he gets another present from the family and has to come around and hug everybody and face Auntie Ricky again, whose kisses don't get any gentler. And about five times, he has to go around and hug the whole family. And then afterwards, I find out my brother was the one who got his Christmas list. So he made sure that he had to have, he wrapped it in as many different packages as possible so that he knew that Jono would have to go and hug everyone in the family five times that Christmas. He used our wonderful tradition as a weapon. But it was also a wonderful time where I talked to my uncle afterwards, and he's like, I know it was must have been annoying for him, but it was so great for him to become part of the family through that bizarre ritual that we have. Christmas is a time of joy and laughter and cultural traditions and hope. Ideally, we get together and we give each other the best that we have. We eat wonderful food, we have loving conversations, spend time with family, and we playfully tease our brother-in-law. We give thanks to those who have made our year wonderful, our world just that bit better. The problem is, though, that because we have such a great time and have had a great time in Christmases past, we place a lot of pressure on our Christmas. It sort of becomes this healing event that we expect to happen a certain way at the end of the year, and it has to be perfect. We get wrapping paper and we put the words peace, joy, hope, and love with the hope that by putting that on our wrapping paper, people would feel that just by unwrapping a gift. Now, I love my family Christmases, but they're not always full of stories of hope and laughter. Sometimes there's conflict and awkwardness. Sometimes you don't want to hug Auntie Ricky. They also happen in New South Wales, so I haven't been able to go to them for the last 3 years. I enjoy Christmas at my in-laws, but they're not the same. They don't have people playfully teasing our future brother-in-law. The food also tastes different, and the stories that they tell about Christmas's past are different. Their traditions are different. Not bad, just not the same. We're in a tricky place in our society where there is a desperation for us to make this Christmas full of joy and hope and love and peace this year, like it has been in the past. And if that happens for your family today, then that's great. But I think that as we get older, our rose-tinted glasses only get rosier. It's hard for our expectations to measure up. So if things are different for you this year, if there seems to be an uncertain world beyond today and the next couple of weeks as we transition from 2021 to 2022, how can we experience joy, contentment, and hope and peace? Well, this brings us to the first Christmas and the story that Roland read out for us. It tells of the birth of a child who's supposed to fix the world, a child that was supposed to rule and bring peace and look after lost people. Now, I think that the expectations for that event could not have been higher. In what Roland read, we read about Jesus, who was born the King of the Jews, and the mysterious wise men from the East come and pay their respects. But there is a clash of expectations because there is a guy who already is called a king, a guy named Herod. Now, his expectations are that he will remain king and everyone will serve him. And now these guys come reading stars saying that there is a king who will be better than him. Now, spoiler alert, the child goes on to bring a different kind of kingdom. He brings a kingdom of heaven, a movement, a rebellion to bring people to live the way that God wants people to live, a kingdom of love, joy, peace, one that we can have real hope in. But here at the birth, there is this clash of a very worldly king versus a baby in a manger. Now, if you read the story, King Herod does not seem to be too concerned with his subjects. He hears about the birth of a king that's going to fix everything, and he sees that not as a great source of hope, but a challenge to his own power and expectations. Now, his reaction is filled with deceit and violence to do whatever he can to ensure that what he has, what he wants, is not taken away from him. He reacts out of pride and a desire to benefit himself, which I unfortunately can relate to. If things don't happen the way I expect, or it seems that I'm not going to benefit the way that I want to, if I suspect that my wife has not bought me for Christmas the thing that I want, then I will probably react badly. Now, we all react badly in different ways. I would probably not go into a murderous rage, but maybe more of a sulky pout if my expectations are not met. My first response is to want to serve myself and maintain for myself the things that I think that I deserve. I should be able to spend my time relaxing with other family members and enjoying their company while she handles the cooking, because that's something that she likes to do. And I'll make sure she knows it by an exacerbated sigh when she asks me for help. But this brings us to the child king, the one who will bring a different kind of kingdom. When Jesus came, he ministered and served people. Instead of leading a life, making others serve him and making sure that he got what he deserved, he lived a life of service. And the world was made better. When people encountered Jesus, they were changed. The sick were made well. The unclean were made clean. The unacceptable were loved and accepted. He lived a perfect life, and then instead of using what he had for his own advantage, instead of taking for himself, he laid down his life so that all the times that we have made the world worse, all the times we've placed our expectations over the needs of others, all the times that we have demanded to be the king over others, he took on the guilt and the shame and paid the price with his life so that we can be part of his kingdom, a kingdom that is refreshing and restoring the world. So this Christmas, you have to ask yourself the question, which king are you going to live like? Which one are you going to follow? Are you going to be like King Herod, who uses what he has for his own advantage? Or are you going to surrender your expectations for the good of others? Now, if you do not know Jesus as your king, then please get in touch with me. My number is on the grapevine that was given to you when you came in the door. I'd love to have a chat with you about it and hear your story. But this Christmas, I ask you to consider living like this king. Make the decision to surrender your expectations for the good of others. Now, this is easier said than done, and I suspect that you will need to remind yourself of it several times over and over throughout the day and the next coming days as we recover from Christmas. I suspect you've probably needed to adjust your expectations a few times this morning already. If you spend your day not worrying about what's going wrong or not according to plan, but spend your time thinking about others and how they are benefiting, then that might mean that instead of avoiding the washing up as an inconvenience, you might see it as an opportunity to care for your family or friends. It's not a job in the way of you enjoying yourself, but a way to love those around you. When it comes to who you will talk to at your Christmas event, maybe find the person who will benefit more from you talking to them. Maybe spend your time listening to what they have to say, rather than trying to air your point of view on a subject or your really cool story from this year. Your way of loving those around you this year might be to stay away from family gatherings if you're not feeling well. This Christmas is a difficult one for us. There is a lot going on. But remember, the first Christmas was one where a king came to show us a different way to live. He came to restore the world. He came not as a conquering king who wanted the world to shift for his benefit, but lived a life of sacrificial love, so that if we turn to him, we can ensure that we have a future in his kingdom. Surrender your expectations this Christmas. Love those around you. And maybe you will find new traditions and new cultural jokes to have with your family. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that today we can celebrate the birth of your King, a King come to restore the world, to serve and not be served. As we spend our day with family or friends or on our own, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to show your love and care in whatever way we can. Think about how others are benefiting. Take the example of your King and live like that. I pray that we'll show others who you are and that through all things, your name will be glorified. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.